Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when the house you're living in doesn't want you there?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it, so call it in. The number is 855-853-4802. If you'd rather write it in, you can do that. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And you have another option, too. You could be a premium subscriber, no commercials, you get advanced episodes and access to the archive. If you go through Apple Podcasts, you can try it for 3 days free to see if you like it. And you can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and here is my sister, Kathy Gordon. Da-da-da!
Hello, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yay.
Today, I was editing Grave Talks. Interview okay. that I did with Rob Guttrow. You might have heard us talk about him a couple episodes back. He was on the Grave Talks, and the episode is called Medium Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. And so he yes. came back, and he did another series of books called Pets and the Afterlife. So it's four series, and I found it really, really validating, actually.
Really?
Because you know how you and I have talked about, was that a sign from Buddy, my dog who passed away? Was that a sign from Buddy? I don't know. In this book, he specifically says things like, well, you know, like you might find treats in your house. Remember that? I found the dog bone and then the dog treat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he specifically says, or you might find a tennis shoe where it doesn't belong.
We were just talking about that.
We were just talking about that. And then today I had washed my tennis shoes because they're Skechers and you can do that. But I washed a pair of my tennis shoes and one of them had fallen between the washer and dryer. I didn't think anything about it. I'm like, I'll pick that up in a little later. Then I did forget about it.
Yeah. And cat so, knocks it over.
A few minutes ago, I go to let Benji outside before we got on Zoom together. And there's that shoe in the middle of the living room.
No way.
Yeah. So is it Izzy, my cat? Because it was not Benji for sure. Benji was on my bed. So was it Izzy? Oh. Why would Izzy be dragging a shoe out? And if Izzy was, I wish I had that on video because that would be funny AF.
Well, how did, you said it had fallen off. So it wasn't like in between them
it
or
wasn't,
something.
Yeah, it wasn't between them on the floor. So he must have crawled in there and got it out. But it was so weird. I'm just editing that interview. We're talking about that. And then I find the tennis shoe in a random room. And then on top of that, we in the book, he was talking about pet doppelgangers. So he said it's like when you see, no, it's an actual pet. That's your pet's doppelganger. But sometimes your pet will send you a doppelganger.
Really?
So that happened to me when I had my Rottweiler, Lily. That I was walking Buddy one night. I'd lost Lily. I was heartbroken. She was a great dog. And down the street, some people moved in and they had a dog that looked exactly like her.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Lynn and I were walking our dogs past. And I looked over and their dog was looking out the door. And I burst into tears. And I said to Lynn, I go, it's like my dog is looking at me. And right about that time, the dog opened the door and came running across the street. And I'm like crying so hard. The guy comes running out, sees me thinking that I'm terrified crying. Because it's a Rottweiler and I can't get it out. So all I can get out is, Lynn, would you tell him what happened? And so Lynn explains it to him. And the guy's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But then when I was reading the book, I was like, maybe that was Lily, like had that dog open the door and came running out. And so I'm telling that story to Rob Guttrow.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of that story, there's a dog bark, one. And it's not, ow, oof, like Benji. It's a oof. It's a one deep dog bark. Now, maybe that was his dog. I don't remember hearing his dog. But it's the weirdest thing. Right then when I'm like, and then I saw my dog, woof, I hear the dog bark. Isn't that crazy?
I'm telling you, our pets are very, you know, they're just a very important part of the family.
Yeah.
And my goodness, I'll tell you, it's tough losing a pet.
So hard.
Where does Rob Guttrow live?
I don't really know.
I mean, not that I suppose we should be giving out his information, but I was just thinking.
He lives at 2437.
I want to go out to dinner with this guy.
Oh, like he and I were talking about that. I said, it's so strange because I said, I feel like you're someone who's supposed to be in my life. Like we're supposed to be friends.
That's what I'm saying. Like I'm not saying like we have to date or something. I'm not like that.
Well, good, because he's gay. So we couldn't date him.
Okay. You know, but I'm just saying, God, it would be like really fun to go like have dinner with him and talk to him and, you know.
Yeah, you would love him.
He's just like
super
a great
guy.
Person. Yeah.
Super, super great guy. So you can listen to that one. That one is called Spirits of Pets. So you can listen. That one is my dog.
Okay.
There must be an enemy dog outside.
He's very angry.
Hold on just a second. Benji, I can't Oh. It is his enemy dog.
Benji is
going to
come
and stay
with
me. You got
to
stop everything when the enemy dog goes past.
Well, yeah. But Benji's going to come stay with me this weekend while you go to Chicago to see the Cubs.
I'm going to my Cubs vacation, as we call it, the Cubscation.
Cubscation.
So that's for me this weekend. I don't want to rub that in, but I'm very excited.
I'm pretty jealous, but I do get Benji, so.
Seems to be okay for the moment until the enemy dog walks back because they live across the street.
Well, I don't have quite as many enemy dogs as I have FedEx guys and UPS guys, and that makes Madden so angry.
Benji is pretty good with that. It is
enemy
dogs.
Not Madden. He is so angry. It's like uniforms get him going.
We have got a story today. It's kind of long.
Okay.
So let's dive in here. And it says, hi, Tony, Harper, Carol, Kathy, and Todd. My name is Bobby. I live on the west coast of Canada. I've been listening to your podcast for a few years now, and I've been an EPP for about the same amount of time. I have had paranormal and crazy dream experiences since I was a little girl. Not all the time, but they were definitely occurring with some regularity. Some of them were really lovely experiences, and some of them were really not lovely. I'd say I was quite sensitive when I was younger, but I'm not as much anymore. I have hemmed and hawed over whether to tell you about a bunch of my little experiences or pull out the big guns first. And I have decided to tell you about the scariest paranormal experience I have had off the hop. Why not? About 25 years ago, I started looking into alternative religions. I've always resonated with old things. I have a deep love of history. And since I've had some otherworldly experiences since I was little, I really started looking into what else was out there. I had been hanging out at occult shops for a few years since I had been able to drive and made some good friends over time with some different people who were into Wicca, witchcraft, and other forms of spirituality. A few of them owned their own shops, and now that I was an adult, I could go out and experience some of the cool things that these people did. One of the groups I started hanging out with like to catalog paranormal experiences and on a regular basis would do spirit cleansings. They would help spirits move on and stop being stuck in between our world and the next. I have a few stories about these things and participated in this for a few years with them whenever I could. It was a life-altering experience and it made me really aware of different beings that were sort of inhabiting our world and very aware that there was just more out there than what we could see with the naked eye. The story I want to tell you about today was unreal. It was about what made me immediately stop doing things like spirit cleansings and anything to do with reaching out to entities because the thought of bringing anything like this home was terrifying to me. It happened in a weirdly roundabout way. It was not my friends from the occult shop who contacted me to see if I would like to come with them. It was actually something that a painter who worked for my dad ended up talking to me about. Something creepy was happening to his brother and their family. They had been painting my parents' basement, and we'd somehow gotten onto the topic. Neither the painter nor his brother were into the occult or anything woo-woo. I like that. They weren't into anything woo-woo. And yet he went on to tell me that one of his nieces was having weird night terrors, and so many weird things were happening around their home that he was super concerned about them. I, in my youthful enthusiasm for all things paranormal, told him about how my friends and I looked into these kinds of things, and if he wanted, he could tell his brother about us, and we could come by and see if we thought there was anything we could do. About a week later, his sister contacted me, and I went by her house for coffee. She started to tell me how it all started. They lived in an old farmhouse from the 20s or 30s, maybe it was even older, one of the first built on that side of town. And there had been an old tree that could possibly fall on their house, which her husband had wanted to cut down. She had said that from the very first, she had this terrible feeling about cutting down the tree and told her husband they shouldn't do it. Her husband, though, being practical, didn't want it falling on the house, so he called the tree cutters and they took the tree down. I'm going to interject there. I don't think they had a choice. If you think a tree's going to fall in your house, you've got to get rid of it. You know, I get yeah, you might I mean, have a weird feeling, but my God, the damage it could cause.
Mm-hmm,
I had that tree fall down in my backyard. That was, thank God it didn't fall in my house.
Well, yeah, they can, you know, yeah. it could take off, you know, my goodness.
Especially a house that had been there so long. And my guess is it could have been a very big tree. She showed me pictures that she had taken as the fellows were cutting down the tree, and there were orbs everywhere. Huge ones, the size of people, tiny ones that look like snow. And she said it all started that night, that the feeling in their home just changed. It was like dread had set in. Then her daughter started having crazy night terrors, waking up in the middle of the night, screaming that she was being chased. I then found out they were a strict Christian family, so her daughter, who was around 7, started sleeping with a Bible. It got creepier. Her daughter, whose bed you could see from their couch in the living room, would wake up, sit straight up, and just stare at them from the bed. She wouldn't say anything, just stare, sometimes for hours, until they would go into her room and tuck her back into bed. At this point, her husband started having headaches. She knew something weird was going on, so she started taking photos of her little girl and her husband, sometimes while they were sleeping, which she showed me. In the photos, it was like big tubes of red light were reaching out and touching them, and there were orbs with weird patterns in them that looked like little faces hovering above their heads. The photos were freaky, chilling even. You could see there was something purposefully touching them. In the sleeping photos, these tubes of red would be leading to their heads. That sounds like something out of the, what was it, The Omen, like Damien, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, then that she, or, I don't know, 2001, A Space Odyssey
something
or something.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Then she said there was more. She said, oops, she had a kid's tape recorder karaoke machine that you could karaoke with and record yourself singing. She played me the tape. At first, it was her two little daughters singing Shania Twain's Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under? Cute, happy girls singing. Then, as they were singing, a sound began, a pulsing wah, wah, wah that started. To this day, just thinking about it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Now, it does say wah, wah, wah. My interpretation of the sound is probably way off. I'm going to guess it sounded way creepier than me doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You could immediately tell that it was not a normal sound, not an electronic thing. Nothing was screwing up. It sounded otherworldly. Then, as that subsided, you could hear a woman's voice say, "No, please don't." And he's got the gun. There was the sound of children wailing. And then she said, "They are in the stages." And right after that, this deep voice of a man screamed, "You little brats." After that, the pulsating sound came back, then died off to the happy sound of little girls singing Shania Twain again. That could be one of the creepiest things I've ever heard about. That is so creepy. That is like creepy from a movie creepy. Because at least in the movie, it's not real, but I couldn't imagine listening to that. I can tell you that upon hearing this, you just knew you heard something not right. My skin was all goosebumps, the hair standing up on edge. You just knew in your bones that something bad somehow just happened in those few seconds. I told her I would tell my friends and see if they would come out. We arranged a night where two of my friends and I would come out to see what was going on. On that night, we got to their house and set up in the basement. The basement was a small one with wood stairs leading down, and from the basement, there was another door that led to a root cellar even farther below. My friends set up a camera to record what had happened. They put flour around to see if energy would be stirred up around the instrument. The whole family, father, mother, two little girls, myself, and my two friends, sat down at the table. Now, I'm not sure if I'm saying this dog breed right. They had a big dog. It's D-O-G-U-E. Dog de Bordeaux Mastiff. Dog de Bordeaux. Dog de Bordeaux. I think I might be close.
Well, you would know better than me.
So they locked the dog in the laundry room upstairs so he couldn't interfere. And we began. My friends started gently asking if spirits were present and asked them to give signs if they were. We got some pretty immediate signs. Lights would flicker when asked questions, and they tried the flicker once for yes and twice for no kind of things. Everyone was pretty interested in what was happening. Then they started asking the spirits to move on, giving them permission to leave this plane and go somewhere better, saying that the family was frightened and that they needed solace. That's when things really started happening. Loud, angry banging started happening on the walls. Lights were flickering like crazy. My friends were getting louder, telling them that the spirits were unwanted and they must leave this family alone. The air inside was thick. I will never forget it. It was like breathing sludge. The door down to the root cellar started banging and the handle was rattling like someone was trying to smash their way through the door. Then the shrieking started. That is the craziest thing. Demons sounding piercing, rageful wailing. So loud it was deafening. It sounded like claws were being scraped down the walls. I looked over at the family and the little girls and the husband and wife were all huddling around themselves crying, tears running down their faces, so scared at what was happening. My friend told me to stand and watch the root cellar door. I can remember thinking to myself, what the hell am I going to do if something comes through that door? Wave my hands at it, wrestle some demonic force to the ground, and then what? I was terrified. This went on for about 20 minutes. My friends telling the entities to move on, they must go. This is our world and not theirs. Then, with a shocking suddenness, it all stopped. Like something out of a movie. I just stood there and watched the door to the root cellar thinking, well, now is the time the bad shit really starts happening. But it didn't. It all just stopped. The only sound was my friends talking. I don't even remember what they were saying, and the family was sobbing. They finished up their spirit cleansing, told the family that things should get better now, grabbed their stuff, and headed upstairs. I was shaken. I had just experienced what it sounded like the demons of hell trying to get through the walls to us. And even with that happening, it was so bizarre that I thought I just had to see if maybe the dog got out of the laundry room and somehow made those sounds. I found it cowering at the back of the laundry room, just this giant dog, so scared. It wouldn't come out, not even for... God, speaking of dogs... Sorry, I gotta let the enemy dog pass. I knew they would be coming back. Just this giant dog, so scared, it wouldn't come out, not even for the family. Before I left for the night, I walked around the outside of the house. My rational brain was trying so hard to figure out if what I had just experienced was real. I saw no evidence that some crazy, elaborate hoax had been performed. I went home, and all I could think to myself was, one, I wasn't sleeping tonight, and two, I never wanted to experience that again. I stopped hanging out with my friends. I stopped practicing the craft. I sold off my expensive stuff, packed away my crystals, and firmly told myself nothing was going to stick to me and nothing came home with me and I was done. I have since started seeking answers again. I guess once a believer, always a believer, and more odd things have happened to me, but nothing of the demons tearing through to our world, thankfully. Of note, I ran into the painter a year or so later and asked him how his family was doing. He said that at first it was good, then things got worse, and they were looking at contacting the Catholic Church about it. Anyways, now that I have written this out and have thoroughly creeped myself out telling it again, I will be turning on all the lights in my house, LOL. I hope you enjoyed the story of my experience. I hope it makes it on the air. I have more to tell on another day. Most of all, thank you for providing a place for all of us people with crazy experiences to tell them. Take care, Bobby. Woo! I'm exhausted just reading that.
I don't know that there's anything I can add to this.
Right?
For one thing, I'm sorry the little girls had to be there.
Yeah. But I think sometimes that's done on purpose so it doesn't attach to one of the girls when they leave the house or something. So everybody, I don't know, that's just a theory.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I really do try to think that things like this don't happen in this world. But on the Grave Talks, I have myself interviewed an exorcist. And then a couple weeks ago, I interviewed a guy named John Montelongo. Great guy, like another guy I just like instantly became friends with. He's an amazing photographer. But he also does this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And just some of the stories he was sharing. And like, I want to hear the stories, but at the same time, I don't, because I kind of feel like when you discuss it, you open yourself up to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So creepy.
I just think it's true. One of the things Bobby said right off the bat in this story was that, you know, she was looking for answers because she did believe there's more out there, you know, than just us. And I do too.
I
think it would be super conceited and egocentric of us to think we were it.
Right.
Like everything revolves around us. I don't think that's the case. And I think there's a lot more out here than we understand and know. I think I might have to move.
Well, and then I'd be worried if I move. Does it go with me? Like, I want to make sure it doesn't go with me.
Sure, but it's worth a try. You know, I mean, like, this is just really disturbing stuff in this house. And like, when you, like, your intro was what happens when the house doesn't want you there. This is exactly what happens, right? The one thing I thought was interesting, well, one of the things I thought was interesting was the karaoke machine.
Oh, that was the creepiest thing?
And, you know, we've had this happen before where people have, you know, sent in things where maybe something has filtered through an electronic device or, you know, there was one time that somebody looked over and they saw like a man standing there from World War II or something. And he looked back and they both were so surprised to see each other, right? And I think when we think about some of these things, like, is there ways that things bleed over into other times, other dimensions, you know, a little bit of the you know, Night Gallery or Rod Serling kind of thing, you know, that this thing that you're hearing, is that something that happened in that house at some point?
That's what made me think.
Something that's happening right now someplace else in the world and bleeding in?
Yeah. I assumed it was what happened in that house, and it was like a residual thing that they picked up on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there, I would
but
be
I think
really,
you can't rule out, you know, that there's some sort of opening to evil things.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
That could be going on in other places at this moment. So it's weird, but I think there, you know, there's a lot of possibilities in that story. Yeah, I think, I don't know, the silence might have been just as worse, as bad as all the noise.
Yeah. Well,
when it went silent, then, like Bobby said, now I'm waiting for the to really get bad.
Yeah, and now the shit really hits the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but I I have an immense amount of respect for people who can go, like John Donne, who I talked to, or the exorcist Sean Whittingham. I have great respect for them because I think that's very necessary. It's very much needed. And what they do, very few people can do.
I agree.
Maybe Bobby isn't really the person to really handle that. So I get stepping back and, because you got to save yourself. You know, it's like, this is too intense for me. But like when I was interviewing John, he said he knew from a very little age that was his purpose. And what he wanted to do was to go through the seminary and become an exorcist through the Catholic Church.
Wow.
That's what he wanted to do. And it just never really worked out. He didn't really go into why, I don't know. But he just has been kind of called to do that work.
Wow.
And so when things are really, really dark, he goes in, and this is very much the kind of story that he deals with.
Mm.
So, you know, you like to think it doesn't exist, but then it does. And it's like, oh. So, so Bobby, put yourself in a healthy place surrounded by positivity. You know, I think you have to watch out for yourself. Because
and like she said, she started seeking answers again. And I think that's good. I don't think that's wrong. I think we should always be searching for answers,
right?
I think that's what we need to be, you know, is always looking, studying, finding, you know, taking in everything. That doesn't mean it has to go down some dark path either.
Right. But thank you for writing that in, Bobby, and write those other stories too, because we would love to hear them. Thank you. If you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. If you want to write it in, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to become a premium subscriber, you could. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You could do that through Apple Podcasts. You can also do that through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.